Copi jana balaba grivan jari. So da na 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 braja jana ranjana. Yasoda na 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 braja jana ranjana. Yamuna tiha vanachari. Yamuna tiha vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabiyari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabiyari. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Brihadaracharya Asatara Siddhishi Sriman His Divine Grace Halesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Raj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Gaur Premanande Hariva All Glorious to the Assembled Devotees All Glorious to Sri Guru and Sri Granda Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Putai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane, Nirvishesha, Shunivadi, Paskyatya, Deshutane. Om Agana Tamarandasya, Gananjana Salakaya, Chaksur Unnalitam Yena, Kasmai Shri Guruve Namaha, Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam, Stapitam Yena Bhutale, Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shigaro Shiyuta Bhara Kamalam Shigarum Vaishnavamscha Shirupam Sagarjatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Vrijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Dugatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishubhanu Siddha Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Trivyascha Kripa Sinubhye Vacha Patidanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitinanda Shadvaiti Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 8, Churning of the Milk Ocean, Text Number 9. Tasyam chakru spriham sarve Sasura sura manava Kupauk darya vayo varna Mahima Kshita Chetasa Tasyam Chakru Spriham Sarve Sura Sura Manava Rupo Darya Vayo Varna Mahima Kshita Chetasa Tusyam Sarve Ladies, Akshita Chetasa Tasyam unto her Chakru did Spriham desire Sarve everyone Sasura Asura Manava the demigods, the demons, and the human beings. Rupa Audarya, for the exquisite beauty and bodily features. Vaya, youth. Varna, complexion. Mahima, glories. Akshipta, agitated. Chetasa, their minds. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Because of her exquisite beauty, her bodily features, her youth, her complexion, and her glories, everyone, including the demigods, the demons, the human beings, desired her. They were attracted because she is the source of all opulences. Purport. Who in this world does not want to possess wealth, beauty, and the social respectability that comes from these opulences? People generally desire material enjoyment, material opulence, and the association of aristocratic family members. Bhogaishvarya prasaktanam. Material enjoyment entails money, beauty, and the reputation they bring, which can all be achieved by the mercy of the goddess of fortune. The goddess of fortune, however, never remains alone. As indicated in the previous verse, by the word Bhagavat Para, she is the property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is enjoyable only by Him. If one wants the favor of the Goddess of Fortune, Mother Lakshmi, because she is by nature Bhagavat Para, one must keep her with Narayan. The devotees always engage in the service of Narayan, Narayana Para, Purana, can easily achieve the favor of the goddess of fortune without a doubt. But materialists who want to get the favor of the goddess of fortune only possess her for personal enjoyment are frustrated. Theirs is not a good policy. The celebrated demon Ravana, for example, wanted to deprive Ramachandra of Lakshmi, Sita, and thus be victorious. But the result was just the opposite. Sita, of course, was taken by force by Lord Ramachandra, and Ravana and his entire material empire were vanquished. The goddess of fortune is desirable for everyone, including human beings, but one should understand that the goddess of fortune is the exclusive property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One cannot achieve the mercy of the goddess of fortune unless one prays both to her and to the Supreme Enjoyer, the Personality of Godhead. So the text again. Tasyam chakru spriham sarve sasurasara manava rupau darya vayo varna mahimakshita chetasa. Because of her exquisite beauty, her bodily features, her youth, her complexion, and her glories, everyone, including the demigods, the demons, and the human beings, desired her. They were attracted because she is the source of all opulences. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamitanamane Namaste Sarasvatundeve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatyade Siddharani. Now we're in the eighth canto, and the eighth canto is full of, we might call, surprises. After going through the other cantos, we'd expect, before we got to the tenth canto, we'd hear all about Krishna's glories, we'd hear about how we should prepare ourselves for the tenth canto, but instead we hear about stories about material opulence, about demigods enjoying the material world, about many other things concerning the heavenly planets. So what is the purpose? What is the purpose of hearing all about this material upper planetary systems where people are enjoying, as Srila Prabhupada used to say, thousands of times more than we're enjoying? Shouldn't we hear about the sages in the Himalayas going through austerity so they can concentrate their minds upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Why are we hearing about Purarava and the Apsaras playing in the different heavenly places on this earth previously and on other planets? Why is our minds being disturbed by such descriptions of Indra fighting the demons, having a chariot with 10,000 horses, or something like that, maybe 1,000 horses, fighting against Namichu, or whatever his name is, Namichi, throwing a weapon made out of foam to cut off his head? Why all this material information? We've heard in the first cantos how knowledge and renunciation is important in order to prepare ourselves. After all, according to the Bhagavad Gita, first we have to come to Brahman platform. And that's when it's actually on the Brahman platform, then how can we actually relish the pastimes of Krishna? Nasti buddhiya yuktasya nacha yuktasya bhavanaha nacha bhavyantak shantir ashantasya kutak sukham. For one who's not in Krishna consciousness or transcendental consciousness, they can have neither a controlled mind nor steady intelligence, without which there's no possibility of peace. And how can there be any happiness unless there's actually peace? In other words, we have to work on the spiritual platform to experience spiritual happiness. And the spiritual platform begins with Brahman realization, that I'm not this body, and beyond that, that I'm actually Gopi Bharata Padakamalayor Dasa Dasa Anudasa. I am simply the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna in disciple succession. If we work on that platform, the first thing we do is Guru Ashraya. We take shelter of Guru. Guru means one who's connected with Krishna in disciple succession. And for us specifically, it means one who's connected with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Panchatattva in disciple succession, who naturally by their joyfulness, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, their ecstatic love for Krishna in separation, automatically connects us with all of Krishna's associates in the spiritual world. There is no question of connecting ourselves with Krishna in the spiritual world unless we first of all become spiritual. And that spiritual means that we become prasanatma, or Raja Vidya Rajaguyam Pavitram Uttamam Pravaksha Vargamam Dharmam Susukam Susukam Kartum Abhiyam, everlastingly joyful. And that everlastingly joyful, as Krishna says, that Sarva Dharma Prachaja Mame Kam Sharanam Raja Ahankang Sarva Papebhyo Mokshi Syami Ma Suchaha, give up our anxiety. What is our anxiety? We're thinking, we hear that things are not so good in Kali Yuga. It's hard to get very much material enjoyment. But if we go to the heavenly planets, oh, there's so much enjoyment. The fruit is all organic. The water is completely pure. It tastes like nectar. You don't have to pay for bottled water on the heavenly planets. There are no factories, so the atmosphere is very pleasant. The air is pure. No one has lung diseases in the heavenly planets. There are no doctors. Well, there are a few doctors in the heavenly planets, but mostly they're unemployed. And the ladies there are gorgeous, thousands of times more beautiful than any Miss Universe. And the men are not only handsome, but they actually make good money there. So one may wonder, why should I not go there, at least before my Vaikuntha airplane goes back to the spiritual world? Maybe there's a rest stop there and I can see what's happening. But it's not advised. We hear about here in the 10th canto, the goddess of fortune is coming out of the ocean of milk. Airavata comes out of the ocean of milk. Dhanvantari with a pot of nectar comes out of the ocean of milk. And what is the result? Simply more problems. Ultimately, the demigods get the nectar, but there's one demon, Rahu, he gets the nectar also. And then the demons finally realize that they've been cheated by the demigods. And then there's another horrible battle on the shore of the ocean of milk. Everyone's getting their heads cut off. And even their heads are cut off, and in the form of ghosts, they're picking up their bodies and continuing on fighting. So that's the material world. There'll always be the demons, there'll always be the demigods, and there'll always be fighting. So one of us who likes fighting, this is a good place to come. If you really like fighting, you can stay here forever and fight. Fight with your wife, fight with your husband, fight with the children. If you become a demigod, fight with the demons. Just fight, fight, fight. Always be in anxiety, always be in distress, always wonder, how can I become happy? But Krishna's pastimes are the nature of simply wonderful happiness and love. If one wants to fight, it's not a good place to go. Unless you really get into it and you become a first-class demon. Not an ordinary demon. You have to practice being a demon for many lifetimes. And then you become eligible to fight with Krishna and get killed, emerge in Brahman. Actually, it's not Krishna doesn't kill anyone. Vishnu kills the demons. Krishna has nothing to do with anything that's negative. It is all the nature of bliss. It's all the nature of expanding, loving relationships with his devotees forever. In other words, if there's a little bit of desire to see what the heavenly planets are like, then we'll wind up there. Our desires are being noted by Krishna. And to actually come to the platform of becoming eligible, like what we'll hear in the 10th canto, to associate with Krishna and his associates, his ever-liberated associates, generally speaking, we have to come to the platform of bhava, actual feeling for Krishna, feeling for everyone in relationship to Krishna. That means no other feeling, giving up our illusory feelings, our illusory identification. Therefore it says, Bhogaishvarya prasaktanam taya parita chetasam vyavasayakmika buddhi eka samadona vidyate. If we think the heavenly planets are good, if we think going to Florida is good, or Hawaii, then we'll probably wind up there. If we think anything is good in the material world, Krishna will supply it to us, especially if we're devotees. Then he'll give us an opportunity to experience and taste how good it is. But ultimately it's punak punas charvata charvananam. And if we really examine it, why do people want to go to the heavenly planets? Because they think, or they've been told in the Vedas, you can live there forever and enjoy in the material world. There's a lot, as they have in America now, or you probably heard of what's fake news. Anyone here ever heard of fake news? So the Bhagavatam is a lot of fake news. Or the Vedas have a lot of fake news. And the Bhagavatam is giving us the real story. No matter where we go in the material world, it is simply a place of unlimited birth and death. Mamupetya punarjanma dukhalayam ashasvatam napnu vanti mahatmana samsiddhim paramam gataha. After attaining me, Krishna, the great devotees, they never come back to this temporary world, which is full of miseries, because they have reached the highest perfection. Of course, just hearing stories about the material world and its miseries will not be very beneficial to us, but it'll prepare us to hear the 10th canto and the actual, real existence that we're supposed to be engaged in, where there's only love for Krishna, and in relation to the unlimited loving Krishna, unlimited attractive Krishna, everyone else becomes practically equally unlimitedly loving and attractive as Krishna. It's the whole world, spiritual world, simply expanding their expert methods of pleasing Krishna and pleasing each other, eternally expanding that so that their pastimes are becoming more and more attractive, more and more enjoyable, more and more revealing of how to love Krishna and love everyone else in relation to Krishna. And the first principle, as I mentioned in the beginning, is that we have to find association of devotees who have that interest, who actually want to love Krishna and want to learn the science of loving Krishna. That science, Sri Rupa Goswami has said, is exchanging, loving exchanges. We don't love by simply reading some book. We love by exchanging expertly our loving exchanges with the devotees. Therefore, Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī said, Dadāti pratigrīnāti goimākiti prichati bhunte bhojāyate chaiva śadvidam pratilakṣana. This priti, which everyone wants, because after all, why there are so many books all about love? And why are there so many songs about love? Why, if the people actually knew the way of finding love, then there would be one song they'd be singing. But why do they sing so many songs? Why so many books about love? Why not accept the Bhagavatam, which is the actual book about the science of love? So this priti purvakam, this priti that everyone's searching for, is obtained by their loving relations with the devotees. Offering prasadam, but offering it with love for Krishna. Krishna's happy when he sees his devotees are eating his prasad. So the devotees act as instruments and offering lovingly the prasad. And when they eat prasad, they remember Krishna, how merciful he is to give us his remnants through, and therefore they eat the prasad with love, remembering Krishna. That's called Krishna consciousness. And when they talk about Krishna, they talk about Krishna as if they're giving others the greatest gift. Therefore it says that the talks between Krishna and Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra are just like exchanges of nectar between Krishna and Arjuna. It's not simply words being spoken, it's actually nectar being transferred from Krishna to Arjuna. So the devotees, they understand how nectarian this science is, and when they express it to others, they offer it as a gift of love and nectar. And when they hear from the devotees, it is just like they're hearing nectar from the devotees. They're receiving not simply words or instructions, they're actually receiving love and happiness from the devotees. The happiness of actually loving Krishna and loving Krishna's devotees. The science of doing that. And therefore they know that the greatest gift is the holy names of Krishna. And to hear the holy names of Krishna from others is the greatest gift to receive. Now, of course, not everyone is equally aware of how wonderful Krishna is. And therefore, Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī says, Krishneti yasya gritam manasadriyeta dikshasi chatranitivascha bhajantam isham shushu shaya cha bhajantam ananya anya nindati sunyaridayam isita sangalabhya. That one should respect the devotees within their minds who are chanting Hare Krishna. So this is quite a science. It is a little bit different from the demigods. They don't exactly respect the demons. And the demons don't exactly respect the demigods. Because it is doubtful whether the demons chant Hare Krishna. Therefore, there may be good reason for the demigods to fight against the demons. And we also fight against the demons by trying to defeat their demoniac mentality. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Krishna, Lord Krishna himself, he knew, as we all know, in Kali Yuga, he didn't come to kill the demons, he came to kill the demoniac mentality. Therefore, the devotees, they see if someone is even chanting Hare Krishna, that instead of trying to criticize them, even mentally, because after all, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Gopi yari dekha tari kaha Krishna upadesh amara agaya gurahana tari desh. That whoever we meet, our attitude has to be that I am your servant, because I am the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. coming into civil succession. And Krishna only has one purpose of coming to this material world. And similarly, all his devotees have only one purpose of coming to this material world, to help the conditioned soul go back to the spiritual world. Krishna has no other reason for coming here. And all his activities, and all the activities of his pure devotees, are simply to help others go back to the spiritual world. Therefore, whoever we meet, just like the six Goswamis, they met so many personalities. Krishna Kirtana Ganangana Taraparo Premamrita Boni Modnidi Dira Dira Janapriyo Priyakaro. That whether it was the Dira or the Adira, they were dancing and chanting in so much ecstatic love for Krishna that even the Adira, those who were uncivilized or had uncontrolled senses, they also fell in love with the Goswamis and became devotees. Therefore, rather than criticizing people, because in the age of Kali, don't worry, we don't have to add to the criticism. There'll be enough of it. If we don't criticize someone, we think, I really have to criticize this person. If I point out this fault, he'll really advance in devotional service. I got exactly his anarthas pinned down. If he just listens to me and surrenders to me, his life will become successful. Don't worry. Someone else will come along and criticize them. But it is very doubtful anyone else is actually going to give love. Love for Krishna, love for the devotees of Krishna. If we actually expand that, if we give that, when there's a little spark of love for Krishna, a little desire to serve Krishna, then the person will actually become animated. They'll become encouraged to increase that spark. Generally speaking, when we criticize others, they become defensive and they want to defend what we're criticizing, and therefore their anarthas generally grow even more. And we find a spark of love for Krishna and we praise it, then people will expand that spark until eventually it becomes a fire. It's true that in the beginning, children, when they're trying to walk, often they fall down. I've never heard of any child. What age do children start walking? 1 year old? How old are the children when they generally start walking? What's that? 1 year. More or less. But say the child's 1 year and 1 month. He takes a step and he falls down. So do the parents go, "You rascal! You're a member of our family, our dynasty. All the wonderful people in our dynasty, they always walked at 1 year old. What's wrong with you, you rascal? You're defaming our whole dynasty. Look, he tried again and he fell down. You rascal, twice in a row you fell down. What's wrong with you?" Generally speaking, parents, when they see that their child is even trying to walk, they become enlivened. Immediately you see on Facebook, "He took a step, he took a step." Calling up the grandparents, "Yeah, it's working, he took a step." And progressing, even if he falls down one time, another time. But gradually he'll learn, and the course of time, by practice, how to walk. And then when he walks, eventually he'll dance. And if he becomes Krishna conscious, he'll dance in ecstasy. So to fan the spark of devotional service in whoever we meet. Now familiarity, we hear, breeds contempt. Therefore sometimes we forget. We think, "Oh, this is my father, this is my mother, this is my husband, this is my wife, these are my children, these are my friends. And we forget that actually, these are not my parents. These are not my friends. This is not my husband and wife. These are all Krishna's servants. And I am the servant of Krishna's servants, and I serve them by serving my Acharya in disciple succession, who's connected to Krishna, and therefore I learn how to expertly help whoever I may meet, whatever my relationship may be with them. I learn how to help them advance in their consciousness, their love, their attention for Krishna. Then I'll actually be doing something beneficial for them and for myself also. Otherwise, if my spiritual master who connects me with Srila Prabhupada in disciple succession, if the associates of Srila Prabhupada who connect me with the disciple succession don't connect me with Krishna, then it's called Shramam Evahi Kevalam. Perhaps some activity will help us understand the necessity of connecting with Srila Prabhupada, with his associates who connect us with Srila Prabhupada in disciple succession, and therefore get the connection with Krishna through Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the six Goswamis, so the feelings of separation from Krishna and Vrindavan can be awakened within us, and everything else, when we get Krishna's association, his associates in Vrindavan, their loving feelings towards Krishna through our disciple succession, then everything else will seem tuchavat, completely insignificant. And therefore, when we hear about the heavenly planets, Kaivalya Narakaryate, Tridashapur Akasha Pushpayate, merging in Brahman will seem like it's hell. Right now, getting out of all material misery will not seem like hell to us, it'll seem like heaven. Actually, millions of times greater than heaven is to merge in Brahman, the happiness. But if that happiness emerging in Brahman is multiplied 100 billion times, it wouldn't equal to one atomic fraction of a drop in the ocean of pure devotional service. So what does that mean? I have no idea, but at least I can repeat what Prahlad Maharaj said. But it's certainly something to look forward to. Therefore, the connecting with Krishna through the Guru in disciple succession, who's actually in that Gopi, Tyaktva Torna Mashesha Mandala Pati Shrenim Sadatu Chavat Bhutva Dina Gunesheko Karunaya Gopina Kanta Shrito Gopi Bhavara Samrita Dila Hari Kolola Magna Mahur Bande Rupa Sanatano Raguyago Shri Jiva Gopalago. The six Goswamis, they gave up so much material opulence, so much power, princely status of life, and they went up with Vrindavan, where they lived like mendicants begging from door to door. But they were so much enriched with the gopis' feelings of separation that they enjoyed transcendental pleasure at every moment. Similarly, Krishna himself, in the form of Lord Chaitanya, when he was at Jagannath Puri, he was also in the mood of Srimati Radharani, feeling the separation of Krishna. So that's what we're trying to learn. Therefore, we serve the innocent by, at least when someone becomes a little Krishna conscious, we respect them within our minds. But also, we learn how to cooperate with the devotees, because we want to become connected with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and we have this association of devotees simply to exchange these loving exchanges amongst ourselves, and then go out and help others experience loving exchanges with the devotees also. Srila Prabhupada said, when the devotees go out and distribute books, it is not their expert salesmanship that generally distributes the book is their enthusiasm. The enthusiasm to serve our acharyas in disciple succession and distribute this transcendental love for Krishna to the conditioned soul is that enthusiasm that attracts people. Because that enthusiasm is spiritual. It is full of actual knowledge and awareness eternally. It is real because it is really a relationship with that person we're connecting to as Krishna's eternal servant and us as the humble servant of the servant of Krishna, delivering Krishna's message to the conditioned soul. So we have to learn how to cooperate to spread the Krishna consciousness movement amongst ourselves and amongst the innocent, so that the atheists, they'll also become devotees in this age, like Jagai and Madai. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes are so wonderful that everyone's including. Krishna is there. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feeling separation from Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan and their associates, and all their associates are feeling that ecstatic feelings of separation. Therefore, they're always living in Vrindavan. And innocent people, when they come in contact with that transcendental potency, they also become devotees. And even the atheists, Jagai and Madai, they become devotees. And others, because there's always others in this material world, they become ruined. And show everyone that if you offend the devotees, if you offend Krishna, then you'll be ruined, especially in Kali Yuga, or in any Yuga. Therefore, in this eighth canto, there are many stories. We may become attracted to hearing about these stories, and maybe we should have a little, you know, get a trip to the spiritual world with at least one stop. But if we keep on reading the eighth canto, the ninth canto, by the end of the ninth canto, and we take it seriously, we'll see we're just going to waste our time. On the other hand, if we take shelter of someone like Srila Prabhupada through his associates, we can actually serve the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as given to us by Srila Prabhupada. The result is, if we feel that happiness by loving the devotees, by serving the devotees, by serving the mission, by serving them, by helping them actually advance in hearing, chanting, and serving Krishna, the result is that any other relationship will seem like it has no value whatsoever. Either in the spiritual, in the heavenly planets, on this earth planets, or on the hellish planets, everything else will seem completely insignificant. Therefore, the question is, how do we fix our minds upon Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas? Well, that's why in the song by Srila Narottam Das Thakur, he said, may I always daya dvaya kora shri acharya prabhu shrinivas ramachandra sangamage narottamo das. May I always live in the association of devotees and serve the previous acharyas. In other words, Srila Prabhupada did not only give us his books with complete knowledge of how to develop ecstatic love for Krishna, but he's given us a society of devotees by which we can practice how to develop ecstatic love for Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada's books are there, his expertise in helping others become Krishna conscious are there in his tapes, his lectures, the videos, the movies. In so many ways we have Srila Prabhupada, his Murti, so many different ways we have Srila Prabhupada's association. And those who take up the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu under Srila Prabhupada's guidance, who learn how to put Srila Prabhupada himself and his instructions within their heart, they also become transparent via medias to the spiritual world and all the associates there. And they are also, their association is just as valuable as Srila Prabhupada's, because it is Srila Prabhupada's association. It is Krishna's association. Now, sometimes we may wonder, someone is giving us Srila Prabhupada's instructions, but they don't seem to so strictly follow Prabhupada's instructions themselves, so should I follow them? Well, they may not follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions, but they're following at least the instruction to give Prabhupada's instructions. So that is following Prabhupada's instructions. And if we follow those instructions, although no one else may follow Prabhupada's instructions, then we'll go back to Godhead. Then we'll make spiritual advancement. And we should appreciate that this person, this devotee, although it appears to my materialistic mind that there is something that they're material, but if they're actually at that moment giving me Srila Prabhupada's instructions in disciple succession, then they are a Krishna and his representatives delivering me back to the divine association of Krishna and his associates. And therefore, we should not only respect them, but we actually have to learn to appreciate them, give our love to them appropriately, and try to become their assistants also by taking up the instruction they gave us, becoming an example of that instruction, so they can see their instruction. That's the attitude of the pure devotee. Srila Prabhupada once said in one lecture in 1972 in Vrindavan, he was talking about how the spiritual master sees things. And he said, actually, the spiritual master, he doesn't see himself as a spiritual master. He sees himself as the servant of his spiritual master. As Srila Prabhupada was saying in one lecture, actually it was a wedding. Hari Griva Prabhu was being wedded to Shyama something. And Srila Prabhupada said, I was walking on the street and this boy met me, Hari Griva, almost by accident. And he said, Swamiji, are you from India? And Srila Prabhupada said, yes. So Prabhupada said, it seemed like by accident we met, but now, actually that relationship has become eternal. Therefore, if we understand that by spreading the Krishna consciousness movement, by respecting people within our minds, appreciating what they're doing for us, by giving us Srila Prabhupada's instructions in disciple succession, taking up the mood of becoming their servant and becoming, showing an example of that instruction by remaining a servant of our acharya, our spiritual masters who connect us in disciple succession, especially with our founder acharya Srila Prabhupada, then we always remain simply the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, and we have no other identity. Therefore, even though it appears to some that we're taking up the role of spiritual master, which is certainly a service to be done, but within the mind, within the heart of a devotee who's taking up that role, whether we're giving instructions to others, or we're giving as a shiksha guru or a diksha guru, we know within ourselves that actually I'm simply the humble servant of Krishna in the disciple succession. And by the mercy of Krishna, the super soul within my heart, he's reminding me, he's giving me the association of my spiritual master. And when I repeat his words appropriately, and when my followers or disciples follow those instructions, they're not my instructions. They're my spiritual master's instructions. They're the super soul's instructions. And when I see my disciple or my follower serving those instructions, I learn from them how to become a better servant of my spiritual master. Therefore, the actual spiritual master never sees himself as a spiritual master. He simply sees himself as a humble servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. He has no other identity. Therefore, he becomes a transparent via media to Krishna and the spiritual world, to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. Within his heart, he sees nothing but their pastimes. Either in this material world, he sees Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates elevating the whole material world by distributing ecstatic love for Krishna, elevates them to the platform of pure love for Krishna, drowning in the ocean of Krishna prema, and in his heart, he's also living in the spiritual world in the ecstatic love for Krishna and ecstatic feelings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, feeling separation from Krishna and the residents of Vrindavan, and therefore their pastimes are eternally being manifested within his heart. So this is what Srila Prabhupada, this is the gift, this is the mercy that Prabhupada is giving us. It is not so complicated in one sense. We have so much opportunities to improve our relationships with so many different devotees. We have so many different opportunities to become inspired to distribute his mercy to others, especially after gaining some of it ourselves. And we have so much opportunity to save the suffering conditioned souls and to learn detachment in the sense that to know what our limits are so we don't try to become the saviors of the whole world. We try to become the instruments for the actual savior of the whole world, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada, and their associates. So, thank you very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Bol. So, if there are some questions, we have a... He's first, and then you're second.
Maharaj, thank you very much for your class. And I have a doubt that it is said in this verse that Manava, Swasura Sura Manava. So the fact is that demons and demigods, they were having screws and they did that churning of ocean. So human beings were also there or that?
You mean during the churning of the ocean of milk?
Yeah.
Well, it's just mentioning, they may not have been there, but it just says in the verse that everyone desires the goddess of fortune. Those who are there desire her, and those who aren't there, they desire her also. Everyone desires her. Yes? Who else? You had a question right there.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
When transparency decreases, what are some of the things devotees should do?
Our first business is to understand the philosophy coming through the pure devotees. So our first business is to understand everything clearly. And that summarizes that everything here belongs to Krishna. And the next thing is, under the guidance of those pure devotees, we should learn how to utilize everything we have expertly in Krishna's service.
And the first thing is to realize that our real position is to be the servant of the servant of Krishna. And therefore, try to utilize whatever we think or we have attraction for, utilize that in Krishna's service. The next thing is to develop the attitude that whatever bona fide service I'm doing under the guidance of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, I'm doing it just to please Krishna. Then the next thing is called spontaneous. Well, Krishna will reveal himself to such a devotee and will naturally think about him. Because when Krishna reveals himself to us, we cannot help but think about him. So we follow that basic principle, give up the desire to become something other than Krishna's servant, give up the desire to imagine that there's something in the material world that doesn't belong to Krishna, including my own very self, and then actually become serious about utilizing Krishna's energies in his service according to the way Krishna wants me to, and then develop an attitude that of trying to actually, with great determination, try to please Krishna in spite of any obstacles that may be there. And then when Krishna reveals himself to us, then automatically we'll become a transparent via media for Krishna. Anything else? Yes.
My question is that what is the origin seed of the demoniac nature which we possess in our heart? How we will stop spreading the seed of the demoniac nature? How will we be uprooted the seed of the demoniac nature for that further it will not be spread?
If I understand your question, which I didn't hear very clearly, but something, how can we stop this spreading? Within our hearts there may be some seed of demoniac nature, so how do we stop spreading it to others? Is that right? How do we uproot it? Well, we know the process is offenseless chanting of the holy names of Krishna. So we practice in the association of devotees, loving exchanges, under the guidance of the most expert, at exchanging loving exchanges with the devotees, most expert at spreading Krishna consciousness to others, most expert at being detached from materialistic association. We take their example, their instructions, we apply it within our lives, and when we become actually conscious of Krishna in our loving relationships with Krishna and with the devotees, then the result is the demoniac tendency is uprooted by as it says, Tesha. First of all, we hear from the devotees how to do it. Then it says, Machita Machkata Prana Bodhiantash Parashparam Katayantastram Amnityam Tushanti Charamanticha. The thoughts of my pure devotees, they dwell in me, their lives are surrendered to me, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss by enlightening one another and conversing about me. So we stay in the association of devotees. We hear and converse about our understanding of how to become Krishna conscious, what Krishna consciousness is. And then by hearing that, Tesham eva nukam, Tesham saratam yuktanam, Bhajantam priti purvakam, Dadami buddhiyogam tam, Yenam am upayanti te. That as we practice devotional service in our daily lives, by trying to become more steady, more enthusiastic about devotional service, then the result is Krishna within our heart gives us more and more intelligence, realization, how to exchange these loving exchanges with the devotees, and how to elevate the innocent, how to love Krishna, and how to avoid the atheistic people. And then Tesham eva nukam paratam aham agyana jam tamaha na shamyam yatma bhavashto gyana dipena bhashvataha. When Krishna sees we're sincere, he reveals himself, and in that revelation we become ecstatic and that ecstasy burns away all the contamination within our heart. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Andhakara Yahum Krishna Tahum Maya Yahu Nahi Adhikar. If Krishna appears to us, then Maya disappears. Yatai Damso Samrido Ganira Bhasma Sakru Terajana Ganagni Sarvakarmani Bhasma Sakru Te Tata. Just like the blazing fire burns firewood to ashes, so does transcendental consciousness of Krishna consciousness burn to ashes all the contamination of material activities. What's that? How is it established? Well, as soon as we forget Krishna, Maya finds a good place. As it says that Krishna Bahira Mukha Bhoga Vanchatari. As soon as we turn our heads away, our faces away from Krishna, then Maya comes and enters into our heart. So we have a choice. Either we think about Krishna, or through our senses, in our mind, so many materialistic thoughts will come. If we don't accept Krishna, then we automatically, Maya, we accept Maya. Whereas Krishna said, just one more thing, Matshita sarva durgani mat prasada tarishasi atat chetvam ahankaram nishoshasi vinangshasi. If you become conscious of me, you'll pass over all the obstacles of conditional life by my grace. If, however, you do not hear from me, then you'll be lost. Yes. One more question. That's the last question. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, you say that we need to associate with the devotees and serve the devotees. But in family life, very difficult to understand if wife is also devotee. So we very difficult to think I need to serve or she need to think we need to serve. But in outside, we can serve the devotee very nicely. So how we can implement in house life also?
Well, our wife may not be a devotee, or our husband may not be a devotee, but we have to act in such a way as to try to help them become devotees. And even if they don't become devotees, still we act in such a way as that we remain our devotee ourselves. Prabhupada said, if you try to catch the big fish, you shouldn't get wet. So we remain the servant of of the servants of Krishna, and we help everyone, including our relatives, to the best of our capacity. And we're not trying to bring them back to our spiritual kingdom. We're trying to bring them back to Krishna's spiritual kingdom. Therefore, we remain detached because we're being used as Krishna's instrument, because their relationship is ultimately not with us, it's with Krishna. We do the best we can. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande.
Jai Narasingha Dev Bhagavan Ki Jai Bhakta.